Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gaper.io, and I'm here today with Oleg Kurchenko, the founder of Binary X. Good evening in your case, Oleg. How you doing?
Hi, Mark. Nice to see you. Nice to hear you. I'm doing well, and it's evening here in Kiev, currently where I am right now, and good weather.
Well, that's good.
I'm ready. I'm fully ready for our podcast.
Well, good. And what is the time in Kiev right now?
About 8 p.m. currently.
Okay, yeah, it's 10 a.m. here in San Francisco, just so you know, just for, yeah. And we actually have some brown skies today. Some of the fires that have been raging, or the stuff starting to come down into the lowlands. So, but that's beside the point. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Yeah, of course. I think I will start from beginning, from my college years. And I will tell you about when my crypto journey starts and from what it starts. It was a funny story because I started as a freelancer while studying at the university. And I started dating with a girl, and I need the money for make the relationships. You know how it's going, like when you begin dating with a girl, you need some money to make the present as if like flowers to her and candies and etc. To go to the restaurant. So I started learning HTML and CSS by myself, and in a few weeks I started a front-end development. That was like about more than 10 years ago. I was studying in the college, as I say to you, and my specialty is the software engineer. So that was easy for me to learn HTML and CSS to start making some money on the freelance. And I work a lot with European and United States clients. I first learned about Bitcoin from my German client in 2011. And I decided, he said to me, Oleg, look on that stuff, and that is the future. And I said, okay, I will look. And I decided to give it a try. So I downloaded the blockchain on my computer, created the wallet, and started mining. I wasn't impressed, so I gave up, and in a few days, I don't know where that computer with those mined bitcoins and how actually mined bitcoins it was, because I don't remember how it's going on. And after that, in 2014, one time again, one of my clients asked me to develop the website for one blockchain project. And my friend say to me, okay, that cool stuff, or maybe we will try something. And we start looking on some stuff for crypto, but there is no some business for us. And in 2016, I come back to crypto industry and start making the mining. I went to develop my own project. So I made the second attempt to tame the crypto and got round to build a small mining firm. So that was like in 2016. And also in that year, I started to develop the fintech project. I set up as a financial service company called Patient, also in 2016. And while working on a Patient, me and my team released that cryptocurrencies are more likely to be used as asset, not as medium of exchange. And therefore, we came up with the idea of creating a digital assets exchange and call it Binarix. So the name implies that we're developing a digital product, and by the word binary, so it's like everything around is binary, 0, 1, 0, 1, you know that. And also like cryptocurrency pairs and the pairs on the stock market, also binary, like United States dollar to euro, Bitcoin to Ethereum. So it's also binary. And we put X in the end, stands for versatility, meaning we can digitize anything. So this is like a field of filter for unrecognized something for us, so we give to our mind think about more, you mm-hmm. know, like about some dreams, and we're trying to realize these dreams in some real stuff. So we decided to create an ecosystem for crypto and start from trading platform with our services. And currently Binarix combines a digital assets exchange and assets tokenization platform. By tokenization, under the assets tokenization, I mean that is like entrepreneurs can tokenize their assets, and under entrepreneurs, I mean like owners of small and medium businesses, and they can encourage private investors from all over the globe to support their project financially. So this is, we think it is a good idea, mm-hmm. and this is the future, because the rights to have some assets, or the rights on any asset in the world, can be digitized.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would agree. And before we get on with the rest of the questions, I have to ask you that, going back to the beginning of your story, did you marry the girl that started this journey?
No. No. Actually, no. We dated about more than 3 years.
Oh. So,
but it's okay.
Yeah, we got you started, right? So,
yeah, of course.
So I'm just going to say Binary X. It's easier for me. Who is your typical customer? Because it sounds like it could be almost anyone, correct?
Yeah, you're right. This is correct. Of course, first of all, we're making our customers the crypto users, but most of them, is the young people, and currently we make some research, and I will have presentation on Money 2020 in Amsterdam, mm-hmm. and I will present why we think that Generation Z, so the young people, is the most like our mostly audience, what we will attract to our platform.
I see. And that makes sense. I think they're more in tune with all this stuff, as opposed to
baby boomers. Yeah, we think about the Generation Z because they are growing with the digital, in the digital world. They're growing with the iPhones and Androids in their hands. They're growing with the computers, and they don't need to convert their experience from analog world to digital world, because they are growing in that stuff, you know.
Right. Well, it's kind of like my kids, you know, both my children grew up with a computer in the house, so to them, second nature. And I certainly didn't have a computer in my house growing up. I only had three channels on the TV. That was all I had.
and right now, more than 100, right?
Yeah, too many. That's too problem. Many. Too many. So, your company's been in business for a while, it sounds like, and you're, I'm assuming the company is based in Kiev. Is that correct?
Currently, we have two offices, one in Estonia and second one is in Kiev. In Estonia, because we are our market is the Europe, mm-hmm. Europe and CIS countries. But currently, Europe and Estonia allow to us to receive the licenses, what is required for making an operation like a digital assets. So this is the reason why we are registered in the Estonia, and also we need to have an office there. So we have offices in Estonia and in Kiev.
And with the current pandemic, I mean, are people still going into the office, or is almost everyone working from home or remotely now?
Currently, almost everyone wants to go to office, actually, because this is, you know, people, I will tell you the situation, how it was situation before pandemic, because the Binarix was established a couple months before a quarantine started, and we fostered our company in quarantine times, and remote work has become an integral components of our operations as we establish it. So for people, the first time when they come on the work, when quarantine starts, they was happy. Mm-hmm. But I say on the quarantine, okay, guys, if you don't want to go in the office and you scare about all of that situation, you can afford from the you can work remotely, and everyone starts working remotely. But I say to them also that I will come to office so almost each day, because I don't want to spend time at the home, and I need more working like I need to be on the working area to more to work more productivity. So in few weeks, like in 2 weeks, one time when I come in the office, I see almost a half of people starts working in the office also, and doesn't bother people doesn't want to go to the home, because they understand that it's, they need a communication with the real people, and they need to discuss with them their life. So this is this is a big issue. But you know, as we start working remotely and remotely on the quarantine, so we was adapted for the situation, and presently we have employees not only in Europe but even in the Philippines, and we not going to stop. So for us, working remotely, it's okay. And we understand that it's the future, because you can work around the world.
Yes. Yeah. And it's interesting, because I mean, I know Gaper actually hires developers out of Ukraine. I mean, Ukraine is actually producing a lot of technical talent lately. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that. There is a lot of educational companies. Also, I have one investment in educational company. So I invested in by myself. But, you know, like the many companies trying to reach our developers. And right now we don't have those developers for free developers. And the prices, their salaries become very high currently. Not expected. Like the developers in the world start making the money on the same level. And the quarantine allowed to them to do that. Like, to, for example, one of the most positions what we want to close, like Go developers, Golang developers, and there is no such many candidates for that position, because there is too many companies who want to have such kind of developers.
Well, I mean, Go is a fairly new language too. So, and it's, correct me if I'm wrong, is it similar to Python?
Yeah, it's a similar of Python, and the Python developers can migrate to the Go easily. But currently, it's deficit, you know, deficit of developers. Yeah, the big deficit, actually.
Yeah, well, I've been in the industry for a number of years, and there's always the hot language, and it's hot for a few years, and all of a sudden something new comes along, or they go back to the old tried and true languages. Always.
Yeah, right, right.
Python and JavaScript, I think, are going to be around for a while.
Yeah. And, you know, by the way, like most important things for remote work is like using right software, because we're on our work using Jira software, Slack, and G Suite. So, these services, by their combining, can help us like manage effectively our emails, timetables, documents. So that help to us also tracking the task and communicate easily. So collaboration between these three services allow to degrade team productivity also. So this is the first stuff what we need, what companies need to understand. They need to digitize their working for start working remotely.
Yes. And interesting, you said you have developers in the Philippines, and which I know they speak English, they're taught English from a young age, and you obviously speak English. So is that the common language in the development community when because I have a feeling most Filipinas don't speak Ukraine, right?
Yeah, you're right. Most Filipinos doesn't speak Ukrainian. Almost nobody, I think. I never meet at least one guy who speak Ukrainian from the Philippines. But we speak in English, and as we start working worldwide, we need to adapt our company from beginning to communicate with different nationalities. So we choose English language, of course.
Yes. In the future, do you see yourself expanding as you start to grow? You know, you will hire developers from all over the world.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. This is working for us, and we're talking not just about developers. Developers, it's you know, like everybody talking about developers, but nobody talking about marketing people or designers or et cetera,
right?
Some general stuff. And and we also using the like English language for hire them also, because you can tell what you need to, from them on the English, and they can translate it on their languages easily.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Interesting. So do you see yourself, I mean, do you think that you will be a hybrid model going forward, or do you think you'll have offices in these different countries? What are your plans?
That will be a hybrid model 100% mm-hmm. because we would like to expand our company more easily. But I understand that we need to open the representatives in different countries and offices in different countries also, because as a regulated exchange, we need to have an office in each country where we represent, or each union where we represent. For example, we have plans in 2 years to go on the United States market also. So we should have office in the United States when we start working in the United States. Because when we're talking about the United States, we need to receive a license, a virtual assets provider license for each state. But at least in one state, we need to have like main office.
Right.
And they say that the same for the rest of the world, like Russia, China, Indonesia. So I think we will have offices in the big countries where we have a lot of clients, of course.
And I can tell you that corporate office space in San Francisco is getting cheaper and cheaper every day.
Yeah. Why, by the way?
A lot of it's because people are working from home. So what they've done is, you know, they're moving out to the suburbs, or they're moving back to where they came from. A lot of people moved into San Francisco to get into the tech industry.
Oh.
And now that they can work from home, they're like, well, I'm going to go back to, you know, Nebraska or Ohio or wherever they're from.
Right. Wow. That sounds interesting, you know, that's great, I think, because right now people can spend more time with their parents, children, and that's great. That's great. But thank you for the information. I will note that for myself, that I can go into San Francisco to open the office.
And the same thing's happening in New York City, just so you know.
It's
the big cities that used to charge a lot for office space, they're, you know, the big companies are, you know, like Twitter has gone 100% remote, which they had a huge office in San Francisco. So there, you know, there's a lot of open office space here.
Yeah, but and Twitter ready for it. So I think any company can do that.
Yes.
And it's not a problem.
Yes. Well, Oleg, I want to thank you for your time today. I know it's late there in Kiev, so I'll let you get on with your evening. But thank you again, and have a great week.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Mark, for invitation. And I was glad to speak with you. You're a very nice guy. And have a great day also.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.